November 17, 2021. It's a Watt from Pedro's show.
How do you feel about having another horn in the group now, another saxophone? Do you feel that in any way competes with you, or that it enhances what...
Well, it helps me. It helps me stay alive sometimes, because I find it physically, man, the pace I've been leading has been so hard.
I never have seen that.
Sometimes I've just been a little, you know, and I've gained so much weight, you know, because sometimes I've been a little hard physically. And I feel that I like to have somebody there in case I just can't get that strength. I like to have the strength in that band, you know, from someone. And Farrell is a very strong spirit and will, see. And these are the things I like to have up there.
Well, strength is the word. That's the word for the band now. I mean, strength and energy.
I like to have this energy.
Do you feel that spurs you on, the presence of, especially a man as powerful as that, Farrell?
Yeah, all the time. There's always got to be somebody with a lot of power. You see, because Elvin, in the old band, Elvin had this power.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Rod...
I always have to have somebody there with it, yeah. Rashid has it, but it hasn't quite unfolded completely, you know. But it's all he needs to do is play.
Happy Wednesday, people.
Yeah, likewise.
You can hear that I'm not man alone because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. Once again, I got Al Margolis from Chester, New York with me. Welcome aboard again.
Mike, great pleasure to be here. I've been looking forward to this, so...
It's been 8 months. Let's tell the people what start show off. John Coltrane talking to Frank Kosky, November 66. A little excerpt. And then If Bawana with solo duo Cassius CZ101.
So it's been nice.
Yeah, it's been. I thought they fit. He's rapping about, having another horn in there. And, of course, the guy's got to make it like competition. No, man. He's helping me out. You can't get that guy angry. John Coltrane. I just love music. Look, it's been 8 months. What's happened?
Ah, geez, 8 months. Yeah, it seems to fly. Been not a whole lot, you know. In my area, there's not a whole lot of performance going on yet. So, been just doing the same thing, reading, making music, painting, just kind of hanging out. And you know, now it's getting cold here in New York, so I can't even go outside too much.
But recording.
Recording, yeah, I've been recording, doing some, a lot of stuff with Elka Bong, with Walter, who
I think he had
on again recently.
Absolutely. And, okay, what are you guys doing, trading files?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, we've been, and then we'll trade some files, and then we'll occasionally invite some other person to be the third wheel in the thing. So, I was just doing some stuff this morning for him, a couple of tracks, and he just got back from, I think, Canada, so he's got a newer one we just did, so he hasn't even posted that one yet, so I can't wait to hear that. So
well,
it's been fun, yeah. I mean, that's been, you know, it's almost been more, you know, I gotta tell you that the you know, at the beginning of the pandemic and not seeing anybody, it wasn't so bad, and you know, and now that there's actually stuff to do but there's not so many performances, I'm kind of not winding down, but it's actually the collaborative Elka Bong, et cetera, with people trading files is actually more fun than sort of soloing, sitting at the house. It's kind of, you know, it's getting, that's getting a little old, you know, not having any place to play. So that just sort of, you know, it's like, I can rehearse today, but there's no purpose. So,
Al, you give me, I mean, you're telling me about productive Elka Bong sitches, right? Because of the sitch. But you didn't send any in this batch of music. It's all If Bawana and Alba Argolis.
Yeah. It's you know, it's funny. Walter, I usually tend to send everything off to Walter, so he tends to have the all the master files. So I figured you could hear. He told me you were he was going to be on the show or has been on the show recently. So
yeah,
I figured
yeah,
he
yeah,
sends
yeah.
an Elka Bong. So
okay. I was just curious. But, I dug this stuff you did send. Like, tell me about solo duo Cassio C's. I mean, right, I asked you for 11 more, and so what went into picking your batch?
You know, the first time we did the show, I kind of gave you a fairly wide range of stuff over the years, and then more composed type of things, sort of bigger pieces.
Yeah.
This time around, for instance, the solo, that Cassio piece was... I guess I think everything I sent you is pretty much in the last 4 or 5 years, so much more condensed okay. time. And so, for instance, that one was on Hal McGee, who him and his partner back in the day in the 80s, I mean, these are some of the first cassette people I were in touch with. They ran Cause and Effect, which was the label and the distribution, and they were part of Viscera. And then for many years, Hal's been recording for many years or recorded for many years under the Dog is Master name, so that and we did some, you know, we did a bunch of collaborations back and toured a few times as Buona Dog. So that, so basically I did it, you know, I did something for his label fairly recently, which he's up on Bandcamp with that stuff. So, yeah. And so the solo duo stuff, the solo duo stuff is always weird because basically what it is, I'll record something, you know, say the Casio piece, and then I'll come back maybe the next day and without listening to what I did the day before, I'll just do a second track on top of it. So that's sort of the solo duo aspect of it is like, I'm not paying attention. I'm trying to forget what I did yesterday or, you know, so it's sort of, it's totally non-synchronous. It's got nothing to do with what I did the day before. And it's just, and hopefully it works.
Yeah, yeah. Now these were like little Econo synths that could sample, right?
That one is a CZ, that was a CZ-101, this one, that I did a solo duo with there. So there was the one I could sample was the old SK, I think it was SK-12, SK-1. It was a little cheesy Casio, but it recorded like, I think, 2 seconds or 4 seconds of sample time. And, you know, you could just kind of put it out. It almost looked like a little bit of a, melodica. You know, it's
yeah,
sort of that
right,
sort of
right. I mixed up my, you know, I'm kind of weak in the keyboard area being a bass.
No, those were fun.
I got a little bias there. I'm sorry, yeah. But my friends that did work those things told me there was a lot of power for not a lot of coin.
Yeah, that thing was like maybe 50 or 60 bucks back then. And when I first got it, I did a CD. Actually, it's funny because it came out as a cassette, then it was like a CDR, then it was a cassette again, radio, and then actually someone did it as a real CD, Radio Slaves, which is probably from 87.
Oh, no, I've been playing that on the show. I love that stuff.
Okay, great.
It's kind of your shorter pieces.
Yeah, because those were all SK-1.
Okay.
I mean, except for that one really long piece, and I think the four at the end, which were sort of, sort of bonus tracks.
You
most
know what?
Of that material.
Al, can I give? Reading those titles, you know, I know all 17 Prisoner episodes by heart, and I think there was some influence.
Oh, probably. I used to watch The Prisoners, so
my favorite show when I was a boy, man. I really got into it. I didn't know they were colored till I got the DVDs because.
Yeah, in the old days,
color, Pop
was a sailor. Yeah. I've seen a couple recently. It's kind of, it's still, you know, the show that still holds up.
Oh, you can see it for free now on, like, Pluto and stuff.
Okay, yeah. I forget where I was. Yeah. Maybe, one of those things, Hulu point. Or.
look, I want to play another solo duo, okay?
This one's
the Roland Macro component.
Okay. It's like, you know, you can't go too far, you know, and then you can kind of remember, okay, this thing does this. And so, you know, and what I try to do a lot of time is really forget what I did, you know, or play the exact opposite.
Yeah,
you know,
Kay would call that blank slate, some way to improvise, really. Let's tell people what they just heard. If Bawana was solo duo Roland Micro Composer, then Fuse got a new record. She, back in the ring, recorded Flash Forward. I think it's on Daniel's mute. Obama's President, Fist Fight in the Attic, Trobokova Kushne Pesci, Slovenia with, I'm going to ruin this language, Skrivachi Magli, which means hide in the fog. Thank you for the translation, guys. And Bronze Age UFO, or UFO, I even fuck up our language. It's hard to know, right? Like past tense of read, right? And the color red. Yeah. You know, how the fuck? Anyway, Baltimore, Lagoon, the third installment of the Lagoon Monster Rubber Mask thing. It's volume 3, part B3. I think it's cassette. This is B-side. And then Count Sheep, LWCC Watt, my collab with Sam Locke Ward in Iowa City. My Daddy Ate My Eyes. C is for Catherine, but he spelled Catherine with a K. It happens. And then finally, Al Margolis and Boban Vistevsky, The Greatest Guide 3. Enlighten us on that, Al. Who is Mr. Boban Vistevsky?
Boban's another cassette guy. I forget where I met him. I've probably been in contact with him for years and years. And just in the beginning of the year, he wrote and asked if I wanted to do a collaboration. So he's, again, you know, he just sent me, because he's in Serbia, Bulgaria, you know, so I don't want to piss him off and, you know, tell him the wrong
Balkans,
place.
Balkans, just Balkans.
Yeah, he's in the Balkans over there. So he sent me, you know.
So
he went
first.
He went first, and then I think he did two first, and I sent him one first. So I believe it was, you know, basically I ended up sending everything back to him. He did the final mixes of stuff. But, yeah, he started the thing with, like, two or three pieces, and then I sent something back, and I think he combined them. And so, you know, another thing when you're just sounds good to me, whatever you're doing, it's like, I think this one, I think this fourth, I think it just came out, actually, just physically came out within the last couple of months on label Emerge out of, Attenuation Circus out of Germany.
Okay.
And so that, I think it's four tracks. I think he sent me two and started, and I sent him two to start. And then again, you know, the usual back and forth and some additions and mixing and, you know, so.
So
that was
both,
fun.
You both have the chance to react to each other and trade places, take a turns.
Exactly.
Yeah, very interesting. And I mean, you said it's the fourth one you've done with him?
No, I think there were four tracks in that one. So
oh, yeah. Okay.
I was trying to remember if it was three tracks or four tracks and that, you know, how we did the... But yeah, I think it was two he started, two I started. And.
But is this your first project together?
Yeah, first time ever.
Okay. So you didn't really know what to expect.
No, not at all. I was I knew some of his stuff from somewhere. Like I said, it's, you know, my brain is starting to get, you know, fried, and I've had so many people over the years that I've had music from. So, you know, I had no idea what he was going to send me, and so, you know, it was a little.
You're supposed to forget everything from yesterday anyway, right?
Exactly. I'm doing that pretty well these days. So.
Beautiful.
You know, and his stuff was pretty harsh, and it was kind of, you know, it was harshish to start with, and so it was an interesting challenge, because it was, you know, I get, like, against it, I get so used to, say, playing with a couple different types of people, you know, people who send, I'm fairly familiar with coming in, so, you know, again, like, saying, working, say, for instance, with Elkabong or Walter, you know, he's either going to send me drums or he's going to send me electronics, so when we do a project and he's had someone else be the first person when we've added an extra person, so it's always interesting to just take yourself, not only forget yesterday, but, you know, take yourself totally out of your normal comfort zone.
I hate that N-word, but that's the fun. I think I understand what you mean. Comfort zone. We're at the end of the first hour, November 17, 2021. Just watch Peters for special guest Al Margolis. Hold tight for hour two.
Yeah.
November 17, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watch for Pedro show. Watt for Pedro Show. Start off the second hour. Road Girls, If Bawana. Then Head Boggle from his new album, Cincinnati Bogart Scene. I played Bogarts in Cincinnati. Yeah, there was a Bogarts here in Long Beach, too. Then, this is a great title, the Ponzi Ensemble's the prize name, people. In fact, it's a large ensemble version. And Madoff with the Mike is the title.
Yeah.
So, before we get into these tunes, because I want you to enlighten us, Ron Anderson was talking. He goes, when he was on the show, you ever play with Al? I said, not yet. Well, he plays really tiny. And, you know, Ron Anderson, I think, likes to get really loud. And
yeah, he does.
Okay, I was going to ask. So there is the thing where you got the file and you got your volume knob there, but then there's the thing where you're like with the cat in a performance or a jam situation. And, yeah, the dynamic is way more out of your control, right?
Yeah, no, you know, it was actually kind of fun is that, weirdly, is I got to remember what I'm doing. You know, like, I get so used to playing solo stuff and quiet things, and when I'm playing with someone else, I got to go, yeah, I got to be a little louder. And that's always a joke with certain ensembles or things. It's like, we did something, I forget what we played. It was fairly recently, but it was, maybe I did some gigs up in Maine, and it was like, they're going, I can hear Al. Holy shit, I can hear Al. Like, what the hell's going on here? So, yeah, you know, I try, you know, yeah, you have to adapt, obviously.
Well,
you know.
Well, speaking of ensembles, what about this large ensemble version of the Ponzi ensemble?
Yeah, so basically the Ponzi piece is a whole set of pieces, which really are.
Yeah, I played a bunch of them.
Yeah. So it's sort of that self-generating. They kind of like, you know, you do backing tracks and then people add to it and then you cut out the backing tracks and then you send the next set of what people recorded. So this is a project that started, with these guys. I started recording this the summer before. So it was, must have been August 2019. We did the original recordings in Maine, up in Sedgwick, Maine. Friends, I got friends up there and I go visit them like during the summer. And then, so two of us did our parts, and then this illness intervened for, you know, a year and a half. And
right. Actually,
the guys who was supposed to do the other two parts was supposed to play back in August, and that August, and it had fallen apart because one of them was finishing his master's or his PhD, and the other one just never got around to it. So they finally recorded their portions in April of this year. And when I was up in Maine again this summer, we were finishing the original tracks, which were supposed to be just, you know, three or four people. But as I was sitting in the studio and listening to what they finally all did and getting their tracks together, we got the brilliant idea of, oh, what if we, you know, we combine most of the tracks together. So that's what this is a,
wow.
Most of the tracks together. We left out a couple of parts, but, you know, this is, and then, you know, this is a little more of a studio construction as opposed to the way it's supposed to be, which is supposed to be, we listened, we played, you know, it's sort of an improv in the studio, but
right. This
was construction, and this was much fun, and it was mostly Nate, I don't know if I said, you know, names and stuff, that was Nate Aldrich, is the guy who did a lot of the recording and a lot of the mixing, and we, like I said, we sat there together, and, you know, we kind of assembled together, but got to give a shout out to Nate for just putting that together and making it sound really nice, so
absolutely.
There you have it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Road Girls.
That was okay. So, you know, I think I told you the last time we were speaking that I tend to like recycle a lot of my material as much as possible.
Right.
So
like Lucy reruns, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So those
kind of.
That stuff was the original recordings of the. I used to, those friends of my daughter. Up in Chester, it was Steve Rowe's daughters, Callie and Chloe Rowe.
Oh, okay. Rowe's a family name. Now I understand.
Yeah, Rowe's a family name.
And sculling down the Charles River.
Yeah, no. These are two teenage girls who were friends of mine. Like Steve and Steve's from up around here as a performance artist and does some other stuff and music and a bit of a poet. And his family, it's actually funny, his family's owned like a five generation of apple orchards. So we go and they got the best fucking apples.
Yeah.
So we go up there and Mike Pride knows them. Mike's played at his house when he was doing shows in a concert series over there. But yeah, he used his daughters for those tracks, and you know, that came under the tape on that was on Generations Unlimited,
okay.
Which was you know, that's a whole long story. It was at Ken Montgomery's label with Dave Prescott, and those are the guys who helped me start Pogus. And
right, beautiful.
At one point, Ken restarted the label as a cassette label, so this was a tape for him. And was that on that tape? Geez, now I don't freaking remember where Little Girls is from. Oh, man, I don't, you know. It's on some tape.
You gave me some more inspiration. Let's play Nocturne.
Oh.
Well, for Pedro Show, that chunk of music. Start off with Buona Nocturne, then Scotch Rolex. This is Brother Shige. Went to Uganda and did a collab with some musicians there. UTB88. Finally, Al Margolis, Guitar Ludes. We should, okay. Right in that block there, we had the If Buona, and then we had the Al Margolis persona or identity or, you know, name on the fucking tune, whatever. So how do you differentiate? If Buona goes way back, right? Nobody knew the meaning or anything.
Yeah, exactly. So If Buona was like the beginning. And
right.
Back in 84, 85 when I started, that was sort of the thing where people had their, you know, unless you're like saying, you know, I mean, so you had guys like R. Stevie Moore who used his real name, and then you had a bunch of people who were hiding behind group names, even though it'd be sometimes it's one person, sometimes it's a group. But so If Buona's been going for 35 years, but at some point it kind of, and someone has even suggested this to me a number of years ago, is like, it's time to put the name to bed. So I've been trying, and then it became a spot where I didn't actually play live for like years, so that when I started playing again, like in the pretty much most of the 90s, I didn't do much live performance. It was mostly job related and it wasn't so much happening, and I had gotten really unhappy with a lot of the performances I was doing, so I kind of took a break. And when I kind of came back to play again, it was sort of a different scene. It was sort of where, I started feeling like I was being more quote unquote classical, you know, or contemporary classical for experimental stuff. And it was just basically happening, like, I came back and started playing with a bunch of people who didn't know what the hell If Buona was. They just knew my name. So I found myself in this really weird position of, you know, there's people who know If Buona, the people who know Al Margolis, there's a lot of people who don't know either, and a lot of this crossing thing. So what should have technically been my composition should have been Al Margolis, and my If Buona stuff should have been my, say, more improvisational. They kind of got crisscrossed. So I've been trying to put If Buona to bed. But okay. Some of the stuff I sent you, because it's been released under the If Buona name, I figured, well, I'll call them If Buona. But all the new stuff, I just kind of put under my own name.
Yeah, I got to tell you, when, you know, started going to gigs up in Hollywood, and nobody had their real name.
Yeah.
And then they change your face. Bobby Pinn becomes Darby Crash. I mean, you know. But in a way, every night is Halloween. It's kind of interesting. And then funniest thing, me and D. Boone, they were all convinced those were fake names, of course, because we were born with that. I'll tell you, the drummer of X, right, Don Bonebreak, he was born with that name. So sometimes you get lucky,
really?
I guess. That would shoot you out. We're at the end of the second hour, November 17, 2021. Just watch Pedro Show special guest Al Margolis. Hold tight, hour three. November 17, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watch for Pete Rose.
Thank you.
Hot for Pedro show start off third hour. Elusive Misanthropic Manual. Graphic score by Brent Gutzeit. Margolis. Brent Gutzeit, I did a collaboration with him.
Did you really? Oh, cool.
Yeah, he sent me that little drum machine and some synthesizer. And I just played bass. It was like pretending I was James Jamerson, right? Getting another tune at Hitsville. And no, I say that because, well, I like that way. That's a big influence on my bass. But when I sent it back to him, he goes, man, I was worried because I sent you music I thought was real bummed out, and you made it all happy.
That happened
somewhere else, too. When I did the collaboration, the Spielgusher thing with Richard Meltzer, he gave me those 48 poems. And, like, no one would make music with me for him and stuff until I met these two people in Tokyo. They couldn't understand English so well, so they didn't mind all the cussing and shit. And he said the same thing when he heard the music bank. I thought it was all sad, and then the music sounded all happy.
Yeah, nice.
So, well, like you reacting when these cats give you stuff to get the improv going or the collab going. Do you ever get stuff like that? Man, I gave you this one kind of emotion, and you came back with another one.
Can't say that I have, but I don't think anyone ever has given me, you know, nothing we ever do has any emotion. I mean, you know, like happy, sad, and it's just like, we get, you know.
Well, Brent Gutzeit didn't cue me with that. He said it after the fact. He said, here it is, Watt. And then when he heard my bass, he goes, man, I thought I was going to bum you out with this sadness. And I just didn't feel it. I didn't hear it because I didn't play sadder.
But I'm saying, not, you know, even in terms of people sending stuff, it's never,
well,
you know.
What about your thing with Brent? How did it go then? Like, I sent you a score?
Yeah. So basically the gist of that one was that he approached me. It was great. It was like, you know, I knew who he was, but I didn't know him. He got in touch, and then he just proposed us doing, we each did a graphic score. And then the proposal was that we find other people to, we would each play, we would play our own and the other person's, and then we'd each pick up a couple other people to play both scores.
Okay.
So that was, so again, the walk of right.
Juxtapose. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. So he's done. Each person did a solo, did each piece. So it was Walter was one of the guys who did it, Walter Wright, Pete Christ, a couple of the, you know, Fred Lomberg Home and Zoot Houston. So it was an interesting, and then Brent and I did each other. So it was, and it was, the limit was like 5 minutes per track for your graphic score. So it was like, do a score, do a graphic score and do a, you know, three words.
Sure,
or, you know, four words, and his became the title of the release. And that was actually on, what's his name? You had him also, Emmett Kelly, I think.
Yeah, he lives here in Cali now, Chicago cat, right?
Okay, yeah,
and
exactly.
He's been doing some wild stuff. Plus, he's a like rock and roll guitar man and can play traditional flat pick and music.
Matter of fact, Brent sent, I think it was Brent sent me something from, you know, from his label, Jimmy's, collaboration, you know, or just a compilation. It had, I mean, I had never heard Emmett's stuff, and like the thing on that was like fucking awesome.
Yeah,
man.
I've been playing a lot.
Man.
I love that compilation. That is a bitchin' piece, collection rather. I should tell the people they also heard James Twig Harper, Rubber O Cement with Connection, 26 Gap, Fright Junction, Protein Incus Template, and then finally, I'm very intrigued by this. Al Margolis with bass guitar duo for Zach Rowden. Enlighten us.
Do you know Zach?
No. So that's why I need the enlightenment now.
Oh, I should put you in touch with him because he's another. That was the first bass piece. I've had the hardest time. You know, again, I mean, when I played in bands, I played bass mostly. So, you know, as a bass player. But I've had the hardest damn time figuring out a way to play experimental, you know, what I do with a bass.
Yeah.
You know, and because I tend not to use effects very much. So, you know, that was actually the first bass, those are the first bass tracks I'd done in like years.
Wow.
And that's why I sent it to you also. I did this bass thing. I got to send this to Watt, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
You know what I'm trying to get working is this Ebow. I'm trying to get like a bow sound, you know, and these things are built for fucking good. It's hard to get the string going.
You know, I've used the Ebow on, on the bass over the years, it's hard to get the string. It actually makes much better squealing sounds. Like you shove it over to pick up and just go, you know, like
I'm not going to give up, but man, it ain't like right out of the box.
No. Like it's, you know, playing them on a guitar or another string instrument is easier, but yeah, it's, you got to kind of work at it a bit, and maybe you can just get a real bow and use that too.
No. You guys have excited me about this electronic stuff, so I'm trying without being a total traitor to the bass.
No, you know, it's a little tougher. Yeah, you got to think, you know, like I said, a lot of times it tends towards the squealy side, so you got to back it off a bit. Sure. But, you know, yeah, I mean, those are fat strings, man. It's like that Ebow thing is a thin kind of thing to get down there. So it's, right. But yeah, that one, that tracks it, which is, so Zach is a great bass player, both stand up and electric bass. And, you know, we ended up playing, me and Tom Hamilton ended up playing, met him when he played a gig in Maryland down at, from Tacoma Park, Maryland, like a few years back. Yeah. Met Zach. He was actually fucking awesome, you know, and I played now on a couple of the bills with him over the years, and just a great bass player, great guy. I'll put you in touch with him so maybe we can get him on your show.
I would love to have him aboard. Love to have him aboard.
Yeah, that was so much fun to do that with the bass, because I was sitting there and it was, I was using actually a distortion pedal, which again, I never use effects, but it was this distortion pedal. It was actually an old speaker from some speakers I'd taken apart. So it was just sort of objects and junk, but it was, like I said, it was the first time I've managed to figure out how to like do what I do these days on the bass. And so I was so pleased.
Wow, see, he who dares, Al, he who dares. Yeah. I play the Ponzi P, but what are you going to explain?
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, for Pedro, last music for this edition, Ifawana with Almar Variation 1, Ponzi Piece 1, then live in Nagoya, July 12, 2013, live excerpt, Scotty Irvin, Taro Tatsumaki, and Makoto Kawabata. Finally, 4 for Wawa Trio, Almar Golis. Okay, explain this, because the Ponzi piece, a Ponzi ensemble, Watts confused.
Well, the Ponzi ensemble piece is sort of the outlier. That's not the way it usually works. The Ponzi piece there really was what originally happened was I recorded 3 tracks for one of my CDs. Well, it was actually myself and a trombone player and a vocalist, and I was playing, I think, keyboards. And the idea of the Ponzi piece was, you know, there was enough space in the original recording of the 3 tracks that I said, oh, it'd be really nice to actually get people to play to this as a backing tape. But the idea of that was to then the people who were playing a trio would play in the spaces as opposed to using the original piece as a backing track. They were supposed to play when the spaces happened in the pieces. So when the trombone was playing, the violin player couldn't play. It's sort of improvisational. So there's a lot of listening.
And working the holes. We got to do that a lot on bass, right? You got to almost read the
paper. Yeah, exactly. You work in a hole, and so really the whole idea is it really was this, you know, the reason it's called the Ponzi scheme and the Ponzi pieces is because it's really this sort of self-generating, you know, for every version of the piece, I can get 3 pieces out of it.
Right.
Because you get the original piece, you get the piece that the other people play along with the backing track,
right,
and then you kick out the backing track and use this third version, and then you start another set. So it was a really cheesy,
trippy thing. I was involved in a project like that with the first Banyan thing, Perkins, Nels Klein, Money Martin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Get this. These guys, what were they called? Chemical Brothers, a Chemical Twin, something producing thing up in Silver Lake. They put us in this pad that they've turned into a recording studio. We're all in different rooms, so we can't see each other, just headphones. And they play Stravinsky Ride of Spring. Now, you guys jam to this, okay? First, it's like this little pagan flute, and then it's all these 10 million sewing machines changing time. So, but then they remove that. So you can't tell that we were jamming to that. So it's
yeah, exactly. It's, no, it's great.
That's yeah, just... it's so trippy. I've only done it once, but it seems the whole Ponzi thing's about this, right? It's really interesting.
It's like, yeah, I should. I'll invite you to the next set of them. I'll get you on that one.
Oh,
it's like,
shit, man! I would be more than honored. Put me in, Coach.
Yeah, no, you got it. Really, you got it. I do. It might be generated from this last set we did. So for instance, the pieces that come from the Ponzi Ensemble larger piece, there are the smaller, the shorter version, or the single version. So yeah, I'm gonna put together another.
The Reader's Digest.
You know what's always been a problem? What I've tried to do with people,
yeah.
And again, you're sending tracks to people.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of like, you know, people on different schedules, and you know,
absolutely.
It's like. Some people say, yeah, I want to do it. And then, you know, 6 months later, you sent them the track. And it's like, shit. So, you know, sometimes it's a little harder to get generating going. But I'll send you a track, man. I'll get it together.
Okay.
We'll get you on that one.
I'm not trying to, you know, foist on you, but, man, it would be a shame.
No. I'd be very happy. I'd be very pleased. Just don't make it too fucking happy, dude.
Okay,
no.
Right. Learn how to use this fucking Ebo. Maybe that. You know, I've only recorded with stand-up bass once. It was so hard for me, but I said, man, if I make a record, I'll have to learn something. And then I got rid of it because it was killing my fucking ads. But, okay, four for Wawa Trio.
That was, okay, so that's another one of my little scammy things. So basically, one of the most recent Elka Bong things that I did with Walter. I started the project, and it was with violin and viola tracks. It was two violin pieces and two viola pieces.
Yeah.
And I sent them to Walter, and then he added Waltery things. He made Elka Bong. But I kind of liked the way the three of those four tracks went together.
Yeah.
So I just kind of like stole them also.
Okay.
So each of those pieces are part of an Elka Bong thing, but they were also, you know, because they were for Walter. And I used three out of the four tracks there, you know. So, like I said, Mike, you know, recycling is...
Yeah, it's healthy. It's healthy. Look, Al, I think we got to have Elka Bong on as a guest, both you and Walter.
Oh, that'd be great, yeah.
We could do these conferences with Skype, and we could just play Elka Bong songs and talk about them. Because it seems like this is your current thing right now, besides, you know, Man Alone.
It's a pretty, we matter of fact just did it back in September. We did, the first gig we did in a long, I mean, because of all that's going on, but we did
sure.
Like four shows and two nights during in Newburgh, New York. There was they had their open studio spaces, and we played this. We did two shows a night hung some of my art, did two shows a night for a couple of days. It was so much fun. We had a couple of dancers with us. So yeah, that's, you know, that's
Al,
not doing
Al, do you got with, your, do you got your artwork up on the net somewhere, at a website or something?
Actually, most of the more recent, if you go to the Ifwana Bandcamp page, most of the recent covers of my
album
art.
Album covers. Okay.
Yeah, just, you know, I just use a cover from, you know, my art, because that's like...
That's all from you. Cool. Okay, I was wondering, because, yeah, you know, I've been to that site. It's beautiful. It's got buttons
of
fucking good stuff, man. And so you do your own artwork. Okay.
Yeah, the last few years I've been doing a lot of painting and art and stuff. So as a kind of joke sometimes with people, I think I do music now so I can have a reason to put, you know, the art up online.
Well, me and D-Boot, we were first met him with, you know, these arena rock guys learning about, you know, club thing. And it tripped us out how big the gig was. We thought, well, let's divide the world into two categories, flyers and gigs. And everything that ain't a gig is a flyer to get people to that gig. So maybe it's that way with the painting, you know? You got to do all this music to get people to see your covers.
One way or the other. It's like, just, you know, just...
No, I think it's happening. Just doing
both. You know, it's funny, doing the painting, it's been sort of the same cycle as the music. So that at first it was like, this is totally wild. I have no idea what I'm doing here. This is great. It's like the old days, and like when I first started doing experimental stuff, I was like, you know, there's no expectations. I got no clue. It's all freedom and et cetera.
Right.
And then, you know, after a while you start thinking, you know, after a while you get all like sort of that, you know, the excitement out, and then you start thinking. And then thinking is when trouble starts. But then, like, you know, oh, I should be doing this. What about
right,
this?
Right. and then true sailing is lost.
Exactly. So then it's sometimes kicking your head a bunch of times going, okay, let's get back to this. And I even find myself, yeah. you know, in almost same artistic Al Margolis if Buona split. There's the improvisational art, and then there's the pieces you thought about, a little more, say, processy type things.
Right,
the
right.
Quote things. It's like, yeah, even art does the same fucking thing. So, you know. And I even got to the point where I was doing these quiet paintings. So, like, there's almost nothing on the canvas or the page. It's like, and then you start going, well, and it's sort of like the music. Like, if I'm not making any sound or making any painting, why am I doing this? But it's fun.
That's great. I can't wait to have... So talk to Walter about that. Let's have an El Capone reveal.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, so we can let Love everybody it, know all the sword details and all that. It's just beautiful to have you aboard every time and any time.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Absolutely. A great pleasure, man. Thank you again. It's been so much fun both times, and I will get you some. I'll get
there's
you back.
There's more in the future, and then the more music you can give me to play, and then music to actually collab on too. That's bitching awesome. Thank you so much.
It sounds good. We'll do it.
Okay, people. It's been November 17, 2021. This is Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.